Welcome to the RP Gamer Roundtable Broadcast for Tuesday, May 17th, 2005. Today we will probably most likely be talking about the Nintendo press conference and relevant events. If you have any questions at all, please send them to me on the RP Gamer official chat channel on the IRC network for Espernet. My nickname is ASV, and with us here today we have, as our panelists...
I'm Andrew, the content manager for the site.
I'm Elliot, the currents columnist.
I'm Philip, the editorialist.
And I'm Chris, the PR manager.
And we have Michael.
Yep.
Ed.
And the other Chris. Yo.
So, as our first topic of the day, given that we'll get to the revolution at the end, since it will take the largest amount of time to talk about, we will start with the Game Boy Micro.
Where is it again?
I'm sorry, that's pretty much the only combination for the Game Boy Micro.
So, we'll start with Andrew, since Michael's out of his mind.
Well, it doesn't interest me very much. It looks more or less like a cash grab from where I'm standing, but the customization with the faceplates could be something that would garner interest, and if they have a low price point, it might be a good thing.
I'm a little disappointed that the screen is smaller than the original Game Boy, but everything else looks all right.
I don't know. It almost seems to me like it's... I remember when the original Game Boy Pocket came out, and yeah. It was basically, here's the same thing, but smaller.
Yeah.
I think it's more the fact that I can't even hold the SP without having some sort of difficulty, and I don't really see how in the world I'm going to hold on to a micro.
Yeah, that's true. I get finger cramps just from touching the shoulder buttons, so...
Did they say anything about being able to play original Game Boy games? I don't think so.
No, so, they just promised it would be able to handle the GPA SP ones.
So that's even worse.
They did mention that the screen is supposedly better, but they didn't explain how or why.
They said brighter, and that's the brightest screen they've ever made.
It doesn't take any power to run a screen smaller than your phone.
Yeah, they didn't say anything about battery life either.
So you'd probably be able to kill ants with it.
All I really have to say is that if it's the Game Boy Micro, the price must also be micro. I mean, they only charge $40 for the thing, because I can't see them selling too many of those.
Especially with the DS out already.
Right.
$40, $20,
maybe. I think we've sold for $20.
I think we can pretty much rule that out, given that it is Nintendo.
If only it was a little bit thinner, then I could like fit in a credit card slot in my wallet. Then I might actually consider buying it.
That would be nifty, cool. Yeah.
I don't think you'd want to sit on that, though.
That's true.
It would probably be safe, given it's a Nintendo product.
That's they are true, good at making durable.
You need a funky cable
stuff
to attach the cartridge to it, too, because it obviously would be bigger.
Yes.
I can move over that way a little bit. And people are just saying, try and talk a little louder.
Okay.
Gather around.
Gathering around.
Our next topic, as we've thoroughly destroyed the idea of the Game Boy Micro, will be the overall presentation of the conference, and it's relative, at least as I've understood, compared to the More Friends concert, lack of technical error.
Which one? The Nintendo press conference?
Yes, the Nintendo press conference.
Well, okay, it was technically sound if you can read a board.
Yeah, but
as
far as the information was concerned, I mean, a lot of the facts they gave at the start didn't seem too solid. Like, we've got 94% of the handheld market, if you count every handheld we've ever sold.
They talked a lot about nothing, basically.
Yeah.
They spent...
Which is more or less what you can expect from people at
a
presentation like that.
They started with a lot of interesting flair.
Yeah.
And then they promptly went into what came across as... We were once great. We were once magnificent.
Yeah.
We obey and respect us. We are going to conquer the world. But then they would promptly go into how we are going to conquer the world. And they'd fling up two games.
Hey, they had a neat mock-up of their logo over a world map.
That's
That's true.
I think
they had a really cool mock-up of the logo. I'll agree with that.
I don't think any of you have been to a press conference from those before, but that's what they do every year. It's like, we are Nintendo. Why are you not bowing down?
Yeah.
And it's like, because you're third. You need to stop thinking I'm God and start thinking, we need to catch up. We need to do something that no one else does instead of saying, well, innovation is neat and that's all we're going to do because we're not going to make games because apparently people buy those.
I think as Zach or Andrew, somebody put it, they just pretty much showed a lot but didn't really say a lot.
I don't even know if they showed a lot. They used a lot of flash.
They had lots of videos.
They used a lot of, we're going to do something cool, but we're not going to tell you what it is. We're going to work as hard as we possibly can to make it sound cool without telling you what we're doing.
Yeah, they were really light on the details. I mean, I'm sure some of it was included in the press kit they handed out, but apparently I give Nintendo too much credit then. But from what I saw, I mean, I really don't know very much about anything that they showed, just beyond the title and, you know, a couple screenshots.
Also, it was disappointing that they showed us the console, but then they're like, this isn't actually what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
It's like they added it as a total afterthought.
Yeah, like,
everything was
they?
All about the new Game Boy, the Game Boy Advance.
It's about the DS, really.
Yeah.
I was really excited when they said you heard the rumors that they were coming out with this new Game Boy, and, you know, the DS wasn't really the next step.
But that isn't a new Game Boy.
And then I get Game Boy 5 Color Junior, and I'm like, wait a minute, something's not right here.
Well, it was the next step. It was just a step backwards.
Yeah.
I think that was part of the rumors, too, that it wasn't going to be a new Game Boy, just a new model of the Game Boy Advance.
Right.
Yeah, it was fairly clearly stated even last year that the DS was not meant to replace the Game Boy Advance and that it's an entirely different product line of materials, which, given the kinds of games and other software being developed for it, is pretty obvious.
That could be what Nintendo's trying to prove, just that the Game Boy isn't over. Might be with the Micro.
It's true, but the Micro isn't an attention grabber. The only thing that really you got out of the press conference is the long list of planned games for the DS.
Yeah. And beyond that, I mean, why would you make a game for the Game Boy Advance when you've got the PSP there, which has far superior technical capabilities to the Game Boy Advance? I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
There is more people having the Game Boy Advance currently.
True, but I mean, after a certain point, I think the PSP user base will grow. Still.
You know, it was something interesting I noticed just as we're talking about the press conference in general, is they said, we've outsold the PSP by 5 times. And I was wandering around somewhere, I think it was GameFront, and they had the sales for 2005, and it's 850 to 730. So where's this 5 times thing I keep hearing about?
I assume that it came from the Christmas sales, which the DS sold out, literally, and to my knowledge, the PSP in North America hasn't yet.
But all they said was, it was because of Nintendogs.
That was false, but early on, the DS was kicking the PSP in the sales charts.
Because it came out before it.
Yeah.
It started better.
If it didn't, that would have been pretty bad.
Getting better than zero is always good.
Yeah, but even I believe during like the first couple of months of the PSP that they were losing on the sales charts.
We're still in the first couple of months of PSP. Oh, at least not in Japan.
Not in Japan. That's where I'm referring to.
Yeah.
Because that's also where the majority of these sales figures as a whole are coming from.
Yeah.
I'd like to iterate that if you have any questions and you are listening, please email them to roundtable@rpgamer.com or join our staff or our chat channel by going to http://www.rpgamer.com/IRC. And our next topic of conversation for our panel will, of course, be the appearance of Mr. Miyamoto and his somewhat underhanded ways with the ladies.
Yeah, his dog was pretty frisky.
That was actually the first time the show was interesting enough I wasn't reading the teleprompter.
Yeah, I was surprised at Nintendogs. I didn't think it was going to be that interactive.
I'd seen stuff from it before, so I was not surprised by Nintendogs. At the same time, I still think there's a cultural misunderstanding in its effectiveness in Japan and compared to its effectiveness here. But of course, seeing Miyamoto coming out was one of the high points of the show.
Does anyone actually want to buy Nintendogs?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Mm-hmm. I know I don't. I'm not interested at all. I mean, even the Tamagotchis, the digital ones, look more interesting to me than the full-blown Nintendo.
I think it's basically a Tamagotchi pet.
If you gave it to me, I would play with it. That said, there's so much stuff that's far more intensively interactive that I would never end up spending money on it if it was right there, unless it was, here's 5 cents.
It seemed like a rental.
Even though it's really beautiful.
If you could rent DS games,
I'd rent it.
It looks like you could get, you'd get into it for maybe a week or so, and then maybe kind of lose interest after a while.
What I want to know is, does your dog die of old age?
Does your dog age?
Yes.
Do they breed?
Are you willing to play for that long?
They sure try. But he
has the Mario hat, I swear.
But he will never, after all, shoot hookers, so we're still okay.
That's right. He'll just make some.
An interesting question from the RP Gamer channel is, why do they still make games for the Game Boy Advance when the DS has the ability to play Game Boy titles? And if such is true, I'm assuming, based on the phraseology of this question, that why they continue producing the Game Boy Advance when, if they discontinued it and just sold the DS, they would make the DS more powerful as it's still backwards compatible.
Because people pay $70 for a Game Boy Advance and won't pay $150 for a DS.
Yes, but if they didn't have the Game Boy Advance to buy, but they still wanted the Game Boy Advance games, is the question I'm asking.
For once, this would be Nintendo not being underhanded about it. And there's a lot to be said for the fact that there's no reason to go through the development effort of producing for a two-screen system and not really utilizing any of the two-screen stuff when there's already a valid system out there that's good, that's well-established, well-installed, and well-liked, that provides all the tools you need as a developer to make a good game.
You also have to remember that the Nintendo DS doesn't have GameCube connectivity and it can't play... You can't play two-player Game Boy Advance games with a DS and a Game Boy Advance.
Which is just a very bad move.
That's annoying.
That was a mistake.
If they did that, then yeah, they could get rid of the Game Boy Advance and just work on the next Game Boy.
Yeah, everybody who came here brought their Advance to play Link games because your DS goes, I'm pretty, but I'm not useful.
There's always PictoChat.
Yes.
Who here has used PictoChat?
I used it at the launch party. I used it by myself.
I have another question from the RP Gamer channel, from Watcher. He read about being able to download games from previous Nintendo consoles on the Revolution and wonders if, or more likely, have they mentioned how much they suspect it will cost?
Of course not.
We get to guess.
It was a press conference.
They mentioned that they could do it.
They mentioned that they intended to sell it. They did not mention its cost.
We already know that they think they can get $20 for an NES game.
Yeah. But it'll be cheaper, though, because then, you know, they don't have to pay to put it in stores. They don't have to pay for the packaging. They don't have to pay for the cartridge.
So they'll make it cheaper so they don't make money?
On
the old NES titles, pretty much any sale is going to be money.
They can fling it up on a server, and 50 cents will give them a decent profit over the bandwidth cost to send it out there.
But the more
specific thing is, it will really give an excuse to really start crushing all the old abandonware sites that host that kind of crap.
What I want to know is how long it's going to take someone to reverse engineer all the emulators on the Revolution.
Probably forever, given that they haven't even fully emulated the GameCube yet.
Why would anyone bother?
Because so far no one's really been able to crack the GameCube piracy.
They didn't say that you could download GameCube games.
No.
I think there's only backwards.
Yeah, that's right.
It's up to the N64 level.
You can have the extender for the GameCube games.
I believe that the Revolution plays GameCube games right out of the box, but the extension plays DVDs.
No, there was a special thing you put the
GameCube. Now, the
emulator. It was just a self-loading media drive.
Yeah,
but they did say that, you know, out of the box.
It is backwards compatible with the GameCube automatically.
Just can't do DVDs.
But that's a very different thing from something that's emulating it.
Yeah, okay, so they're already good in the N64 emulators, so that's not really that question.
I'm thinking they'll probably charge about half as much as if you bought, like, the classic version on the Game Boy Advanced.
It's like $10.
Yeah.
That's what I bought Zelda 2 for.
Well, especially if, you know, you're not necessarily getting a tangible copy of it.
Yeah.
Right.
That's true. It's not like you get to keep, you know, let's say your Revolution crashes.
Yeah, you apparently have to buy a SD card and back up your flash memory.
If it's smart, they'll keep track of what games you buy, so you can download them again if you had to.
You'll have an account, but now I'm going to download to my friend's Revolution and my other friend. And
I would not be surprised if they ended up overcharging how much they're worth early on and dropping the price a few months in as they realize people aren't willing to pay as much as they think they are.
Yeah, I mean, if it was a set price like $10, I can't imagine. I mean, paying $10 for something like Zelda is completely different from paying $10 for something like Excitebike.
Hey, Excitebike rocks.
There's people who pay more than $10 for Excitebike.
But you can already pay it for $20 and get it on the Game Boy Advance.
Right. So you can walk into a local electronics boutique and pick it up for $4.
If they have it.
If you're lucky, yeah.
I was thinking the e-reader
cards, you get Excitebike for like a $5.
I'm fairly certain that Nintendo has discontinued the e-reader because I haven't seen it up for sale for a significant period of time.
They were so excited last year with all the crap they were not putting out. No, they still had it in the press release last year.
Oh.
And we're like, why? Nobody uses this thing. Oh, wait, nobody uses the Game Boy Link cable. Oh. Or the Game Boy, the GameCube thing. Except them.
Of course, yeah. Now
there is Zelda Four Swords Adventures.
And
Square
Enix,
but... Our next topic will be the one that we're kind of shooting around already anyway, that being the Revolution. Feel free to ask whatever questions you may have regarding what very little they actually said about it. And it's very shiny and black, in case anyone's curious.
Actually,
but it might not be.
Multicolored?
Yeah, you might be able to pick the color.
The version of it they had was shiny and black.
The only interesting thing about that was they were actually like, maybe your readers want to help us pick colors. And I'm like, hey, there's an idea. I don't have to choose between purple and puke orange. I might get a color I want.
So what do the readers think the color of the Revolution should be?
Well,
I don't know. Type it in.
Which dye did we squeeze into the plastic at the time of making it?
I'm still firmly of the opinion that video game consoles altogether, unless they're something designed to look like a specific thing, such as the retro Nintendo Game Boy Advance SP, should either be white, gray, or black, because those three colors go with anything.
But I like green.
They have to be red.
Red is pukey.
No, not a hard, bright red. Not like the light, pinky crap that most people call red.
It should be like Fire Miss Dragon.
That's me like our logo, yeah.
One of our pure skin revolution. You
could probably contract some companies to do that for you.
Actually,
I'm pretty sure they're out there. But
they are.
I'm fine with shiny black. Or IMAX style white. I mean, since it is blatantly ripping off the Mac Mini, you may as well get it in white like the Mac Mini and just put it next to my Mac Mini.
They made this glow blue. My Mac Mini doesn't glow blue.
We have a question.
That's how you can tell them apart. Put it in the wrong
bit. We have a question from Scotty, another RP Gamer staffer, about specifics on the controller for the Revolution.
They didn't
the controller was nice and invisible. It was sitting there right next to the console that came out of his pocket. It was said to be a prototype that would not look like the actual one.
No.
It was very nice. It fit in his hands invisibly.
Yeah, the only thing I heard was that it was going to be wireless.
Yeah, that's the only thing they said at the thing was that all the controllers are going to be wireless.
The only thing I recall specifically being said about it was that in some way it would involve being able to interact with games in a different way than other controllers already do.
Well, didn't they also say that?
But that what that way was, they would not talk about yet.
They also said they were compatible with Broadcom, whatever the crap that is.
Broadcom does a lot of wireless chipsets.
Yes.
But why not something everybody else already has?
But they do. Most wireless cards in your laptops and stuff are Broadcom.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, basically, I think they also said didn't they also say something about doing kind of the same thing that the PS3 is doing, where you can basically use the DS
as a controller.
As a controller for certain times.
I don't think they mentioned the DS.
I think it's fairly evident that the DS will have some connectivity to the Revolution, like the Game Boy Advance does to the GameCube. But
yeah, they're, have Wi-Fi with that.
They're really pushing their Wi-Fi and online.
Which surprised me a little bit, given Nintendo's
track record
of basically dodging the whole idea of online
play. That's been different leadership than it was when they were doing that.
They're trying to make up for all the lost.
You replace the head leadership, it's not surprising that the philosophy towards online play has also changed.
The fact that they announced almost for sure that Smash Brothers' next incarnation would appear as Wi-Fi compatible on the release of the Revolution gives the ability of the Revolution to become an online gaming platform with some power, gives it a little more credence than it otherwise would to have the ability but not feature it prominently from first party.
Yeah.
At least it's free.
Exactly.
Yeah, all Nintendo first party games are free.
They've said that at the beginning, though. They've always been like, yeah, first party's free. Microsoft said the same thing. It didn't take them long to make Xbox Live somehow cost money.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So, further discourse about the nature of the Revolution, or...
the controller.
The controller might be in the shape of a round ball.
Actually, to be somewhat serious on that, if the DS is used at all in connectivity, that actually might be pointing to them somehow fitting in the sort of stylus garbage with it. I would be surprised at it, because it wouldn't be a very good ideal in that structure.
They did.
But what else are they going to either? It would have to be used just for the few structures of games, or it would be totally, or it would have to be something that could be used in all of them, because otherwise the whole stylus form of gaming would not map to what you're having the control setups built for the actual Revolution.
I think, again, Nintendo showed up forgetting they had to do a show. They came up with nothing. Everybody else released everything. And again, they're going, oh, crap.
They showed one thing.
For next gen, they showed up unprepared again.
I bet that if Sony and Microsoft hadn't showed anything at all, they would have just not mentioned a single thing about the Revolution. Just kept on pressing the DS. Yeah. Well, they showed a nice, shiny case.
If they had the option of, our competitors showed nothing, so we can say, look, it's a very shiny box and you like it. And we can say, yeah, that's great, because everybody else just had shiny boxes and we liked them.
Well, given the track record of Sony changing the specifications of their consoles, I think we can be fairly certain that even if the PlayStation 3 is far enough along in development to have come to a place where people can develop software for it, that it will probably not be identical to what they said this year.
What, are you calling them the PSP track record or something?
And even the PS2.
Well, if they change something, I hope the new Sony system gets an additional 256 megs of RAM. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
How's this something?
Yeah, I agree. The PlayStation
3
controller
is
somewhat
Frankenstein-like. They produce something that on the first run does not require people to take it back, because it will be broken on the first run.
My first run one still works.
You're in the very, very, very small minority, I think. Now, that's not an admission you hear from a person that likes RPGs very often.
Right. Well, okay, let's talk relatively. Let me think. 40-hour RPG, 150-day MMO. Yeah.
Given that we have virtually exhausted our Nintendo-centric talk, and given that we weren't capable of...
What about Ecoplankton, or that funky...
Do you really want to talk about Ecoplankton?
I was going to skip Technoplankton.
Electroplankton.
We did?
Jinx.
Either way, it's...
If anybody was a fan of Rez, they have to at least try it out.
Yeah. I think it looks cool.
And I was a big fan of Rez.
It's made by drug addicts for drug addicts.
I was impressed by the sound, but then again, it was, like, completely amplified. And
What they clearly sort of seemed to indicate on it was that it was not intended as a game so much as something, so much as a...
tool.
No, I don't even know if I could call it a tool. It's a gimmick. It looks a lot like those various Flash things up on the web where, hey, you tap, ooh, it makes sounds, little pretty graphics happen, and it's a very... It's several orders above that, of course, in complexity, but it's the same sort of thing, where it's not really something that ends.
You know, I think I had the exact same thought when I saw Katamari Damacy. I'm like, who would play this weird-ass game?
And I still agree with that comment.
That's nice. It's one of those things where that would be one of those you have to give it a chance.
Yeah.
But on the notion on Katamari, though, they sort of acknowledged there was winning, there was beating the guy.
Yeah, there's levels.
There was endings.
Yeah.
There was congratulations, you have accomplished this.
There was an objective.
And Ectoplankton, it might very well be the greatest screensaver you ever have at Nintendo DS.
Oh.
No, I needed one.
The people in RP Gamer have drawn my attention to rather a large topic that I neglected, and that being the Legend of Zelda.
How on earth can we forget
that?
To
talk about that?
I have no idea.
This is coming from a person who doesn't like Katamari Damacy, so maybe he just has no taste.
I still like The Legend of Zelda, unless we're talking about Majora's Mask or Oracle of Ages.
Maybe.
Gamelon.
Was it the wolf thing that made you forget?
I think it was the whole that they kind of put it off to the end, and by then I was tired of reading the teleprompter thing.
What was with all that technology stuff in the sky, the little circuitry and the cybernetic eye?
That was weird.
I don't know.
I was still doing Cybernetic Eye from the Pokemon game, so I didn't really notice.
Yeah. I don't know if I like these new additions to the Zelda game, but...
It beats sailing.
That's true. It does beat sailing.
It looked a lot like Nocturne.
It surprised me notably seeing the wolf mechanics that they were tossing in.
Furry. Crap, we're recording this, aren't we?
Probably not the best time.
Yes, this is live, and we will rebroadcast it and transcribe it.
We're good at it.
There's no going back now.
If we're lucky, this might appear on Fark.com.
Oh, hey.
Anyhow.
That's a strong possibility.
The notable thing that did look cool is they did show a rather nice scene of the horseback combat.
Yeah.
And that looked... What?
The flaming arrows.
Before. That's the only thing they showed last year. And it was like, ooh, scary flash, and then like a minute of horse fighting, and then, okay, there's some more flash. And you're like, neat. So the horse fighting was like, oh, good, you didn't forget that there's a horse involved, because other than that, you seem to have forgotten what Zelda was.
But once he turns into a wolf, does he really need the horse anymore?
Apparently he was ridden. That's just that's the Twilight World. Matt Hedder gave us some info. When he enters the Twilight Realm that has covered Hyrule, he transforms into a wolf and is captured. A mysterious figure named Midna, we saw the close-up of Midna, helps him break free, and with the aid of her magic, they set off to free the land from the shadows.
It would help if we read the press releases before going to the zoo, apparently.
Okay, so instead of an annoying little boy, we have a wolf.
In the
Twilight Realm. So if he comes back out, then obviously
right.
He's not
like
a wolf.
Going back in time and becoming annoying.
It's like Darkland, like going through time, like
Dark World, Light World.
You have to like always go back and forth.
It's a
I
Zelda
guess it's better
game.
Than a bunny rabbit.
It's good. It's
Yeah. Zelda game, they're doing all this weird stuff with it, but it will be good anyway, it will be fun anyway.
Yeah.
We know all of us in the room
will end up buying it.
At least half.
At least half of the game will be good.
It might be fun to run around like a wolf.
I think it's going to be fun to do all the game.
It beats sailing.
I'd rather keep something as a wolf than sail the boat for another 3 hours.
Let's not forget fishing for the Triforce.
Oh, yeah, that was...
You didn't... I mean, that was easy, because you finally got to the point where the controller shook out of your hand and said, oh, I'm here.
Yeah, the thing that got me is you had to find the map first, and then you had to go track it down.
I just hate it. I'm tingle every freaking time I eat it.
I just hate that tingle is in the game at all.
Tingle's in every game. Nintendo just hates us.
Someone
yes, please remove tingle!
Somebody in Nintendo has to like tingle. Which disturbs me more than the fact that they put it in there every time. I mean, it's not just they put him in there, but the fact that he's always there is indicating that someone high on the design team thinks he is a good idea.
Well,
thinks he's likable or
something.
When's
the last time they removed a character from the Zelda series? Every time they add any new character, they magically appear in the next game. They have the large, fat cow milking... What's his name? I don't know, but you got the girl...
Melon?
Melon?
Melon.
Yeah, Melon. And you got his... Or his?
Her father or uncle.
Her father or uncle or whatever, and they're in the next game, and then you have, you know, some stupid boy with snot running out of his nose in Wind Waker, and he's in the next game, and it's like, it's okay to say, yeah, that was a fun character. You stay there.
On the note
during
of
the
Zelda.
Game, I haven't finished Melon's in there. They brought that whole thing over into Wind Waker, too.
The
I know. I was it was in Minish Cap. They yeah. used everything in Minish Cap, but they used that
he
in
used
Wind
everything
Waker.
In everything. Well, what else is tinkling? Anything since he was announced.
Yeah, he's in Majora's Mask.
Majora's? Oh, he's in Majora's Mask. Well. Okay. He's in Minish Cap. He's in
Wind Waker.
Wind Waker, too much. He's the richest.
He's in Minish Cap, too much.
On the note of Zelda, RP Gamer will be posting for your viewing pleasure this video that we're actually talking about before too long, so just keep checking our E3 coverage for that.
Chris is working on the encoding, so I have to bother.
Yes, we were trying to be quiet about that, though.
Why?
So that they don't know that we're... Yes.
They all know we're sitting here in the hotel room chatting. They would like to know we actually do work, too.
Yes, but all the work is done by other people in other channels and other rooms. We just sit around and chat.
Oh, that's professional! Thank you!
At least for the 2 hours we're in here.
Wait, this is 2 hours?
I have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Well,
we're already more than 40. Yeah,
Pokemon next.
What?
How long have we been going?
40 minutes.
Holy cow, that was quick.
Yeah, I know. We ran out. Okay, so can we start talking about, like, you know, multiple consoles? So we have more to talk about.
Well, there's a few other.
There's one last question.
All right, they got questions.
There's one last question about Nintendo related stuff, and then we'll move on to the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360.
What?
The crap box. Okay.
This is recorded, and they will come and
see. This is from Kiento. Do you think the small size of the Revolution will hold back the graphics a lot? The PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360 are huge, and the Revolution is so tiny, so I don't see how they will match up.
Wait.
Nope. Size doesn't matter.
Thumb chips? Something like that? Yeah.
Size doesn't matter.
I already have a Mac Mini, which is the size of the Revolution, and... That is already, like, almost the fastest machine in my house now, and it's, what, maybe 1/6 the size of my PC?
That's the size of a bowl of mac and cheese.
Oh, I forgot about that picture. That was awesome.
But yeah, you gotta remember, I mean, even with their dual concave junk, Microsoft still likes wasting a lot of extra plastic that they don't really need to waste in a lot of cases.
I don't know, the only concern I think I see in having the Revolution being such a small box is just... No, I mean, the 3D graphics, I mean, that's going to generate a lot of heat.
So is the Mac Mini. You don't really notice. They use dispersion.
Yeah.
If they're using the same technology that they're using to create the Mac Mini, you don't even notice the heat dispersion.
Yeah, but I mean, that's just... it's definitely something that they have to take care of. Because I know I've had friends with, you know, the small form factor little shuttle boxes, and he's had issues with a really good video card of it just really overheating.
I remember one thing. This is a PS2.
He's pointing to
it's
a PSP.
It's basically the same thing, and the size is much different.
It's like
not quite, but only
it's like PS1.5.
You know, and of that, only one side of the back is actually used. This bulge is actually used for the CPU. Everything else is your storage and your battery. So you're only talking about something that is three fingers wide.
They did manage to fit the Wi-Fi antenna in there as well.
On the CPU side.
I thought that was over here.
It's right near the switch.
Serious note
as you can
the
turn
question,
the Wi-Fi on and off.
It's really hard to say when there hasn't been any actual footage of this is what the Revelation can do.
Revelation.
Revelation is not a Bible.
And again, it is just a mock-up, so chances are they'll probably change the way it looks before it
gets
launched.
We've seen tech demos for the other two systems showing, like, this is what we're expecting graphic-wise. And while we could predict, like, this may hold it back, this may not, but we've never seen even what their goal setting of this is the graphics level we're looking at.
The only graphics that they showed that could even arguably have been from something they were building for the Revolution were from the, like, 6 seconds of Metroid Prime 3 they showed.
And those graphics look like they could have been done
on the GameCube.
Yeah,
it
got a
scarily quiet reception.
Yes, it did get a scarily quiet reception. Although the fact that they involved Samus's flagship, you know, firing off rocketry is something a little strange for Metroid, I must say.
That's
also
why everybody went quiet. Yet another tech demo in the stream of tech demos.
No. I would have believed that if they hadn't said, and we want to make, you know,
everything
from Metroid
a key piece of the Revolution.
They had mentioned something, I can't remember the exact quote, but it was basically, we want to use everything that you're familiar with in a new way. And then you see the ship come and latch on it, like, pull the crap out of things, and you're like, like that? That was neat. I could use those missiles against the frickin' Omega Pirate. That'd be nice!
Okay. We'll now move on to talk about the PlayStation 3. Since the Xbox 360 is mostly old news at this point.
I still think the Xbox 360 should be the shape of a ball.
It has to be the shape of a ball. What's the point of calling it 360?
Yeah, that's
unless
it's
rubber ball,
we can spin it.
It could, in theory, be an inside joke against the Revolution, since a 360 spin would be a revolution. However, I find it hard to believe that anyone at Microsoft has any kind of sense of humor.
I'd be more surprised that they managed to get the code name before Nintendo released it, since they only did it like 3 weeks ago, and they said it 360 for like a month.
But PlayStation 3, tough.
It has the most USB ports, and that makes me very happy.
Yeah, a ridiculous amount, but it's going to be good.
Because we don't want USB hubs, we don't have USB hubs. I want to know why there are 7 controllers
and not 8. Yeah.
Why can't we count to 8? I mean, especially in binary, 8 is easy. Why 7?
Somebody wants in.
What's up, dudes?
It's Ken.
Hi, Ken. Hi, Ken. We're live.
Advanced Media.
What's up? Sweet.
But, what's your take on the PlayStation 3?
Oh, boy. I just got back from a party. I'm not talking right now.
Language bad.
Okay, well, continue discourse.
I think it's cool that the PlayStation 3 is backwards compatible all the way through the PlayStation, as well as the PlayStation 2.
It's cool, but it's starting to become a real necessity to compete, to with the growing cost that the opening price for systems are getting to, they need to be able to, and how few launch titles tend to come out with them, they need to be able to say, yes, you can buy this, and even if you don't like the launch titles, even if the great titles don't come out for 4 months afterwards, you have a library of several hundred games, and of those, there's 30 or so you will love.
No, you're missing the key point. You have to have backwards compatibility because your console isn't going to work by the time the PS3 comes out.
I meant
that's
not
a
just
strong possibility. And by then, it will be more cost-effective to spend $400.
My PlayStation 2 was bought. I'm wondering when my PS2 will die.
Sounds like you've been lucky so far.
This is true. I was more speaking in general for all of the consoles out there. This is true for Nintendo, and this is true for the Xbox 360 as well.
I have never bought a console and said, boy, I'm happy that all my old games work because the new ones suck. I actually like games before I buy consoles, therefore I have something to do with it other than play DVDs.
Do the same thing.
I have to agree with
that
Phil.
That said...
What are we talking it's, about?
You have
PS3
to...
backwards compatibility.
Right.
Did we, like, stop the Xbox 360 then?
It's pretty much become a...
Well, because we have
like, if you don't have backwards...
Enix on it that we
it's a standard of consoles.
Yeah, if you don't have backwards compatibility, you're just screwing up. Like, everyone expects it from them now.
Even if
I see
five games I like, which will be enough to sell the system job to me, the odds... There's always the possibility that there will be gap space. And an excellent way to fill that gap space in an often competitive way and compared to other game systems is if you have that backwards compatibility. It also does a favor to the developers still developing for that old system in that they don't have to worry about suddenly being knocked out of the market when the new system comes out, because the people buying the new system can also still buy their games.
Yeah, it's good for crossing the timeline of the consoles, but I also think it's maybe just for the consumer to realize, you know, I don't have to keep the old ones around, you know. Or my TV only has four connections without a switch, so, you know, since Dreamcast has not been succeeded, that only leaves me three slots. I can't have a PS1 and a PS2 and a PS3 all connect to PC TV.
It's really nice for traveling. I'll bring my folder of games and say, hey, I only need to drag one of these systems along and it will play all the things in this folder.
Yeah, that too.
You guys talk about that sweet banana controller here?
Oh, it's a boomerang! Come on!
Yeah, the famous Jake Alley quote of, you can kill wallabies and play games at the same time.
I like shingos personally, but wallabies works too. Yeah.
Does it have any form of vibration type at all?
It better. It's a standard now.
Oh, yeah,
it's
around. We don't really have any information.
Have they talked at all about the battery life?
Yeah,
the controller
standard.
One day battery life.
One playing nuclear
accelerator.
And then
so
you
24 hours before it needs recharge.
And charging, is it like you plug it in, or is there a nice little charge?
That is a very big
also
issue,
like
in
the
my
docking
opinion.
Station.
The PS3 image, where it said you have seven controllers and they're all DualShocks. They didn't show any boomerangs in the images.
Yeah.
And bear in mind, they're still litigating. That lawsuit from that DualShock manufacturer is still in litigation, so they probably have to wait for the outcome of that before they can decide whether to include a vibration function or not.
And if
they appealed it again after they lost their latest judgment.
If they continue to lose it, they'll have to either develop their own new and completely, at this point, kind of worthless to spend money on way to create vibration, or they'll have to license it from Nintendo, which I see happening about the time the Earth explodes.
If they lose this suit, they'll buy the company.
Microsoft already did.
Yes.
No, they only bought like a third of it.
That's enough to keep them from buying it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And keep Square off the Xbox.
It's
yeah.
too late for that, though, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, Sony owns 10% of Square.
That's not enough to make a decision.
10%.
I don't think
30%
either.
I have a fairly...
A third is a bit different than the 10.
It's your majority. You still want
it. It was brought up earlier in our own talking that perhaps given the continued delays presented by Square Enix toward PlayStation 2 titles, and given their expansion of loyalties toward Nintendo and Microsoft recently, that perhaps the days of seeing Final Fantasy in the series as we know it are strictly numbered on Sony soil, which, if that happens, could change the face of RPGdom as all of North America knows it for sure.
RPGdom? You think up these all by yourself?
That's either that or do I call
it... I kind of like it. It's good.
Going
before,
a step on that, I would argue, not just because of that, no. But the state of Final Fantasy is reasonably in question since they started that polymorphic
content.
Since, sure, they're experimenting with one part of their franchise, and they haven't yet broken off. That said, if that's a large success for them, it's reasonable to see that they're going to be going everywhere with that. And as soon as they see there's money in it, and they think there is now, but they're not totally certain.
Well, I'm not entirely sure it costs them anything to make an Xbox version of 11. And to make concept videos or something they do every day, so...
yeah.
Depends on if there's going to be any changes to play online.
It's going to be hard to take FF as the this is what is pushing where RPGs are made, because if their polymorphism that they're already started on earlier kicks off, they're going to be everywhere at the start. They're
not
going
to... Explain
that word.
Polymorphism?
Yeah. I mean, that's Square explained it.
Polymorphic content, as Square defines it, is to take one content ideal and produce it in as many different styles and forms as possible. Produce it as a cell phone game. Produce it as a little book. Produce it as a
like
movie.
Mario.
Produce it as a saw.
TV show.
In other words, license it to death and make as much money as you can.
Well, yeah. But not only that, but it's also, I mean, play online is the heart of polymorphism because it's not just... For 11, it's going to be for Front Mission Online. I guess someone plays Tetra Master.
True Fantasy.
It's for everything else. Yeah, True Fantasy Online, if it came back, would need Play Online support. They always think it's dead.
They were very smart with Tetra Master. Personally, I subscribed to Tetra Master about 6 months ago, and since it only costs a dollar, I've been too lazy to cancel it. So they've got about, they've got about 6 months of money out of me.
It's
only
6 months.
Oh, let me slowly but
I think they would have done far better if they had gone triple triad, but...
But if you add that up, all the lazy people out there, that's a lot of dollars.
Compared to the... What do you think?
The economics of laziness?
Exactly.
Four characters, so that's zero. 17.
Seven.
17. And you have one mule. No mules?
I am,
You
weird.
Suck!
Wow. You have, like, no extra gear for anything, do you?
I have... Let's not turn this into talking about...
No, don't ever content.
Let's get off of FF.
That's bad.
The readers, in general, raised the excellent point, and I know we've already covered this a little bit, of... Do the wireless controllers, which appear to be totally standard and out of the box for all three consoles... come either battery-equipped or are they automatically rechargeable with internal batteries like the Game Boy Advance and the DS?
PS3 said it had to be charged. They didn't mention how, but they didn't say batteries. They said before you have to charge it.
What are you going
to
charge if it's not a battery?
No, it's not like a removable battery.
Oh, I don't have to buy the...
Basically, do we all have to buy stock and Energizer and...
I hope you don't need a docking station for every controller.
I know what they have is, I mean...
And yeah, I think Xbox said something similar, like you have to charge the controller.
Well, you do that through the USB port of the 360. That's more convenient.
That might be what they do.
That's
they
a strong possibility.
Personally, as a lazy, distracted gamer who tends to play for way too long...
Bye, Ken!
It's a sauna. See you later.
I can't say I particularly like the move towards everything being wireless and being recharged. I mean, I can and will leave a system running 70 hours on end. And this will burn the heck out of any of the wireless ones that they're suggesting. I'll turn back on the TV after going to sleep and start up playing again. It's like, my controller no longer works.
Well, does your controller consume power sitting there doing nothing?
If you leave it on, it does.
What, to run the light?
Yes.
Yeah. Depending on how the sleep works.
If it's
constantly trying to connect to the system, yes. Even if the system's not on, so it's still going to keep drawing power, transmitting.
What's most likely
unless
is
there
wireless.
Is.
Wireless.
You don't press a button for a while. Okay, you go
press
to sleep.
That's true. It might go to sleep.
Yeah. But your cell phone can go to sleep already. If your cell phone cannot find a signal, it goes to sleep for X number of minutes before trying to find a new network.
Some cell phones are pretty dumb.
Right, but I mean...
Some are not well-designed.
Right, but the technology of, I have no network, I don't know what to do, I go to sleep, is already there.
I imagine that's what they'll use. It doesn't make sense not to.
Right, how many people are going to remember to turn off their PS3 and their 5 controllers?
No, is it 7?
Yeah, you
assume I have 6 friends.
So you don't?
I don't put 6 friends in my front room. You can see my front room.
Hey, I'll just give you the benefit of the doubt.
Apparently the Xbox 360 has like 8 USB ports for controllers as well, so...
I thought it had like
2
4.
On the front, like 6 in the back or something?
Yeah, I just want to control the phone.
Oh, I thought it was...
I remember the last time I had a party with that many people playing on one system at the time.
Besides!
I mean, I'll have that many people playing, but they'll be on different systems. It's like, we don't care to play this game.
I can't wait to see 7 players split screen.
At least
that's going to be great.
7 players split screen.
Yuck. At least Sony finally got off of the 2 controller port thing, you know? Yeah, we don't have to worry about multitaps anymore.
It would have been nice to go to 4 instead of 7.
At least. Well, I mean, if you don't want to play 7 players, then just hook up 4, and your problem is solved.
Was the PS3 one of the systems that had multiple, like, digital outputs for different TVs? Like, you hook 3 different screens up to it?
I
know one of the systems had that feature, multiple digital outputs.
I didn't see anything.
You're asking the right people.
Today, so I really don't know anything about the PS3.
I see.
But if you're right, then that could solve the problem of 7 player split screen action.
Yes, yes it would.
Yeah, that was one thing. Like, ooh, the Mario Kart. You can play, like, with network your cubes together. I don't know a single person who's ever done that.
I do, but they all work for Penny Arcade, so...
Entirely.
Well, now, I've seen the huge Halo matches with many Xboxes. I've seen that.
It'll be easier because they're all wireless now.
I have done a multi-Xbox Halo 2 game.
Yes.
That was cool.
But I think people stick to the internet for game.
You generally have the issue with that most gamers don't have that level of coordination among their friends to organize it.
What? Most of my friends are LAN party makers. Making a GameCube party is like... That's easy.
Well, if you hook up all your systems together, there's no point in having 7 controllers on just one system.
7 players split screen has made my brain hurt. Oh, my God!
I'm glad to have contributed that.
And how do you split that up? I mean, it's not like it's... The 8th one is the back of the cell that isn't doing anything.
Exactly.
Yeah, Brady Bunch is 9, so what do you do?
The logo of the game.
Yeah, in the bottom corner you have the map, in the middle you have the logo, and the 7 screens.
It'd be like playing on one giant multifunctional PSP.
Hey, the Brady Bunch.
You have an
entire Final Fantasy 11 party on one PS3.
Oh, man.
Oh, that actually sounds weird. And a power leveler!
Yes, you too can get through the Valgrim Dunes.
Yes, with everybody in my house, come get me through the dunes.
That's actually really useful.
That's why they thought 7. They're like, oh yeah, we need the power level. What were we thinking?
So that we move back to a topic that actually is a topic and not something construed from something else.
We got a topic?
We will start with something that I am sure Andrew and Jake, or Googleshing, as the case may be, if he's listening to this, is he refuses to tell us how to pronounce it.
Pronouncing his name.
Yes, he does. He has it in
talks about how
to pronunciation.
That's what I
Well,
Google.
It needs an extra
We'll
vowel.
Just call him Google.
Google.
We'll talk about.
We can't call him Google.
We have to pay money when we use that.
We'll talk about...
He's good.
There's a third
Let's
O.
go.
So, anyway, the topic...
We'll talk about a subject that Q&A will see a million questions about for the rest of all eternity, thanks to Sony.
If you send a letter on this, I will hunt you down and kill you.
yes, we have a representative from
Q&A. Yes, hi, Q&A.
Hi.
I you did something at this
point. Is the okay, erstwhile Final Fantasy VII tech demo. It's a tech demo, people. It will never happen.
Let's not go that far. How many people said, wow, 7 was a cool game. I wish there were 5 more.
Unfortunately, apparently far too many people, because the entire idea of the Final Fantasy VII compilation is dumber than a sack of rocks.
What?
Let's not prejudge now.
That's the only thing about it, and it's a miracle after the Spirits Within.
Well, that's because they remembered that, hey, when you put Final Fantasy in a movie title, maybe it should be about Final Fantasy.
And we should let our readers know that we're working on that Advent Children trailer as well.
Yes, we're working on the Advent Children trailer, but Square Enix wants us to do some weird things to the audio at the end, so it may be a little bit.
Make it sad.
Yeah.
I don't know. Unfortunately, yeah, it happens.
So, talk about Final Fantasy VII on the PlayStation 3. Since
it looks pretty.
That's pretty much all there is to say. It looks really nice. But
it's just like how N64 version of Final Fantasy VI looks.
Right.
Yeah,
What are we supposed to say? No, Aerith's butt didn't look big. I mean, what can we say? Yes, she had more polygons than before, and it zoomed out, and it was rendered real time. Oh, wait.
Well, it does show that Square Enix is still heavily behind Sony.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, they didn't do it for the Xbox.
They released the 7 demo and left Nintendo. They released a video of unknown design and concept for the Xbox, and then they did a video for the PS3. Where's the loyalty?
No, what they likely do, in fact, what they would certainly do, is they put a team at the beginning of each console thing to test out each console to see, hey, what can we do with this? They're big enough to do it, and they likely want the information for themselves. The fact that it's a really nice tech demo for the various companies involved makes those companies happy, whether or not they're making the game for it, because they can just say, "Look, here's a very pretty tech demo."
Exactly.
That's what they're very good at making out, is very pretty things. So it's not very difficult for them to make another one.
No, it's what they're good at, but they need to, before they invest the amount to make a whole game in there. They really need to say, is this system better for it, is that system better for it?
And part of
how they can figure that out is building a just quickly setting a little team on each of them and building a nice tech demo early on.
What I want to know is, we used to have a video of the Final Fantasy VII intro, and now we have this real-time rendering. And what is this, it's kind of out there, but... We already have Advent Children, which is a movie. When did we get to the point where they stop having to, spend years making CG movies because they can just render them and record them?
Well, because they can still make them better, so there's something to render.
There are some things that just don't render that quick yet, because, Shrek and all the other movies, or anything that involves, hair, really detailed hair and things like that,
That tech demo, Cloud's hair... looked pretty detailed.
Yeah, but at the end of it, when he's just kind of there and his hair is all moving...
Sony gave a good summary of this kind of stuff in the press conference about different types of materials you can render easily and some you can't, certain types of cloth.
They were showing a cloth rendering really nicely in that tech demo.
They were showing...
We don't have Spirits Within real time, so, we still have a goal to get to.
Well, no, but it makes you wonder. I mean, instead of, okay, we made this really good, thing, and then we'll go give it to the computers and render for a week, they could actually, make a movie. What are they coughing about on this joke?
There are some people that would like us to discuss in more detail your collective opinions about the More Friends concert.
Huh.
Oh yeah, it says everyone here went except Zach and I.
Yes, as those of you that listened last night.
It was plagued by technical difficulties, if I could sum it up in a few words. Now, for the first half of the concert, there was an amp that wasn't working properly, so every few minutes there'd be this huge popping sound, like a cap gun firing. which is really disconcerting to say the least. None of the microphones worked.
Well, they went in and out.
Kudos to the orchestra for not jumping any time that happened.
Yeah.
You could tell Arnie Roth, though, he snapped his head to the left every time it happened.
And
but he kept going.
And, I mean, really, that's really the bad thing. Oh, well.
But yeah, the Black Mages were great, although the songs they chose, I wish they had more stuff from the first album. And I wasn't too keen on some of the arrangements he did, but all in all, it was decent music, just terrible technical difficulties.
Having to restart the last song like 4 times, which is, it was like the surprise encore song, and they had to restart it several times.
That's going to be embarrassing.
Yeah, well, you could see Uematsu is terribly embarrassed.
He ran off the stage.
Last song was it was, again, a One Winged Angel encore, just like the other two Dear Friends concerts, but it was Black Mages along with the orchestra playing together.
So Uematsu, a rock arrangement of One Winged Angel. He literally got down on his knees and begged the audience for forgiveness.
Yeah.
It was quite a sight.
Yeah, I mean, to their credit, they sort of turned into a little comedy bit, but, I mean,
there was lots of laughing.
Yeah, they handled it pretty well. I think the audience dealt with it. And then we heard this rather awesome arrangement, and as well as a new choir section as well added into the song.
Which also appears in that Advent Children trailer, incidentally.
There's no way to properly recover from 3,000 stars.
Yeah.
I thought they did.
They went on with the show, but there's nothing you can do on any stage performance to really recover from 3,000 starts. It's going to be bad.
The final song, when they finally got it right, it was amazing. But, I mean, even Uematsu ran off the stage for like 5 or 10 minutes and they had to bring him back on. And
I think he was just
before he did it.
Yeah, I think he was just talking. This isn't working. Where's my translator so I can yell at someone? But, see, I really liked it last night. It was good. But in retrospect, most of the people who have been there have been to Dear Friends. And until we got to the intermission, it was Dear Friends.
Yeah.
No, there was three, four songs that were.
Yeah, it was more of the same.
Yeah, it's called More Friends.
And it would have been nice if. All right, we had everything after the intermission was actually
honestly,
what I would call.
The orchestra last night was better than the other concerts. I've been to both of them. So, it was easily the best performance of the three. Anyway.
I really didn't like Ricky either. Her voice just doesn't do it for me because she can't hit any of the high notes.
It would have worked better if we had had the early singers at the start and it would have asked me something different at the start. And then maybe after the intermission, we had just gone to Black Mages.
Yeah, if you went to Dear Friends, the part before the intermission was just kind of the same thing except 2 new songs. But they were
starting out with the bombing mission was awesome.
Yeah, that was
a great
one.
Great.
Yeah. And then we had some boss music.
And the opera was pretty good, too. Although I wish they'd done it in Italian, so you couldn't hear how lame the lyrics they changed it to were.
It was funny. It was good.
It was seemingly deep to begin with.
No, I know. But at least when it's in Italian, you can't understand it.
Translation from 6, which I don't know why. Because we all know those lyrics, so we have to memorize them to do the...
Yeah. And I mean, you said you were waiting for it, and I know I was, so...
And it's like, where's my fading dream?
But yeah, it was really well done. Hey,
you guys are going to nitpick the technical details.
I nitpick the whole fact that I had Dear Friend Part 2 for the first half.
It was the technical difficulties just really unacceptable for such a large venue. Obviously, they had done shows before, and it just seemed like they didn't even do a technical test of the equipment or anything.
Yeah, because, I mean, a problem like that amp should have been caught right at the outset.
Yeah.
Unless it blew the first time and there was nothing they could do.
Well, I mean, broken microphones.
Well, yeah, I don't know what's up with the microphones and the lighting crew falling asleep, but other than that...
It seemed like when they were doing the last choir song with One Winged Angel that the choir's voice just wasn't high enough.
You couldn't hear
them. Have a chance You have a rock band and an orchestra. You think they
could have increased the volume on their microphones?
Yeah, and I have to wonder.
Could
the microphones weren't working.
Yeah, I half thought that they weren't even on at all.
They could have turned down the volume of the rock band a little bit. You know, they could have balanced out the.
Rock band was subdued greatly because the orchestra would have drowned.
Yeah.
Although maybe there was something wrong with the mics.
I don't think the mics in the choir were working, like anything else.
Well, it was the same problem with the first Dear Friends in LA last year. The choir was undermined.
Yeah.
Yes, it was very
Chicago did a good job with the mic.
They did.
I like the Chicago.
as far as attendance for this show went, there was a lot of empty seats.
Yes.
Not by the time it started.
Like around the little second
song, and except for the edges.
The whole back
but it's
was...
it's a bigger venue, apparently.
There's a section in the back that was empty, and the whole row in front of me was empty. Yeah.
There's lots of little holes.
Yeah,
that's only a complaint, because we want to see it all sell out, so that they...
It was huge, though.
Yes.
Of course.
Of course. In a better
when
venue.
When you consider what you guys have just been going on for the last 10 minutes or so on problems they had,
yeah,
it's not surprising that they wouldn't that they're having trouble selling it out.
Well, it's just the venue that's the problem.
Well, it's not like everybody said, wow, this amp sucks, I'm leaving. You know, I mean, people don't know they're not going to sell it out.
I think we really were overbalancing it into complaints, because really the past was
awesome. Yeah, it was really well put together, and the performers did a great job, but the venue just couldn't live up to it.
To be honest, I thought it was so-so, but there were parts of it that were very good.
Like, I would have liked to see more variety. It would have been nice if the singing event up front, and, you know, we brought this entire, their U.S. debut, basically,
yeah.
The Black Mages, and they played two songs and a duo or a trio, and it was like, and, you know, are you guys going on tour? Because that'd be nice to know.
How about, yeah, some more songs from the first CD would have been great, like Andrew said.
Black Mages.
Oh, yeah.
I should also mention that my opinion of the concert was somewhat colored by the person who was sitting beside me, who I wanted to punch after 5 minutes or so. So you can take what I say with a grain of salt.
Yeah, one bad person ruins everything. Can.
We'll move on to another topic now. That will be general opinions of all the new games or games that had like tiny bits of information or trailers at the Nintendo press conference.
There was like 200 of them.
Why did like, they change the subtitle of that 20? Fire Emblem game? I don't get that.
I don't understand that either. Probably because they thought it sounded better this way.
Because some marketing guy said, uh-oh, I'm not making enough money.
See, but did any of the games that they very, very briefly demoed, like, stick out in your mind at all?
New Mario game.
Yeah.
Mario? You can't go wrong there.
The new Mario Brothers
actually,
game.
Actually, that Mario Soccer game looked pretty sweet, too, but those aren't RPGs.
Mario and Luigi 2.
RPG. Well,
the first one was great.
Yeah, okay.
I'm looking forward to the next one.
I think actually going to call it Mario Brothers 4. That's what I want.
I hope so, because
that'd be cool.
It's only been, you know, like 15 years.
What? It's going to be Mario Brothers DS.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, it's kind of
we deserve a Mario Brothers 4.
They gave up on No More World 64.
I guess they just don't ever want to back out on or disrespect Super Mario Brothers 3, which was really the game that made everyone realize that Nintendo knew what they were doing.
What's Super Mario 128?
That was crappy, Seth.
What?
Seriously, what? Super Mario Bros. 3 was when they figured out Nintendo knew what they were doing?
Yes.
Were you sleeping the first 3 years?
No, but when you consider that a game like Super Mario Bros. 3 was even possible on the NES.
There are lots of games where I'm like, wow, how did they ever get this on the Super NES? I mean, there are always those that say...
Tales of Phantasia.
That set the new levels of, you know, expectations for the...
That's what I'm trying to say is that the presentation of Super Mario Bros. 3 changed the expectations of everyone everywhere on the planet about gaming.
Well, yeah, because basically every game for the next 3 years until Super Mario World came out was exactly the same. Or not the same, but modeled directly after that.
To be fair here, when you look at the top tier of the last few games that come out for a system, that description can always be put to them.
Except
you look at Super Mario for the NES, you look at the Donkey Kong Country series for the Super, the Tales of Phantasia, which I would not have believed you have voice acting over on the SNES system. You look
Star Fox.
It's using a chip again, that's cheating.
Oh, it's still on the SNES.
Yeah.
What do we have
in the PlayStation
that
was
end,
yeah,
was End of Era on the PlayStation? Yeah, it was blurred because of the PlayStation 2.
Final Fantasy 9.
Yeah, Final Fantasy 9 was fairly impressive in a lot of regards.
It was, you know, yeah, you always have the this is what the console will be remembered for game. And obviously Super Mario Bros. 3 for the Nintendo is easy. You know, I mean, Super Nintendo is a little more difficult, but there's still some real stuff.
Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, I mean, as far as RPGs go, Chrono Trigger is pretty much the best.
Well,
of the
that's,
ever.
But not
the
that's best. Story. Like,
that's
talk,
because Tales of Terraria never came yet.
Nothing in
if
Chrono
it did,
Trigger was
it would
difficult.
Be overwhelming itself.
Nothing.
I don't know. Chrono
Trigger's
water
wow,
is pretty awesome looking for
the
Super Nintendo.
Huh?
Okay. We've gone
that's
retro.
True.
We probably
what was the question?
Yes.
What new games like stuck out in your mind?
You can obviously see where our mind was. Well, oh yeah, those 20 billion games.
Once again,
just a bunch of jaded games.
They didn't show us anything. So, I mean, what else are
mostly,
we supposed to say? It's like, here's some pretty pictures, guys.
They just mentioned a bunch
to,
of games.
To be fair on our end, basically we were given in there...
10 seconds?
200 games in about 10 seconds, and then a book with two screenshots of each of these games.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean,
so
some of these screenshots are really nice screenshots.
Well, in the realm of RPGs, the one that they talked about the most, which was not at all, really, and that they showed the most footage of, and we'll just use as an example, is Pokemon XD.
That one
confused
me.
Be darker.
It confused me because it was
an RPG.
Very...
They've all been
the
RPGs.
The Pokemon game confused me because while it was very pretty... And while they showed a reasonable amount of footage of it, they showed none of it in battle. And anyone who's played Pokemon knows you spend a very, very, very considerable amount of time in battle. Just showing a demo of a Pokemon game and not showing any of the battle system of it.
There was a battle system. She threw the ball out of the thing and her eye thing with the glowing. And
that
like,
did not
why
look
did she
like
have
a
an
battle.
Eye thing? And by the time you're like, finish the end of the sentence, they were over.
The
maybe it was an action RPG.
Huh?
The battles
they
are all
you
do.
Show.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
If they're
not...
That's
all RPG. Seeing what they're doing... They're making everything else 3D. Seeing what they're doing, whether it's going to be a Pokemon Stadium setup or something much, much nicer, which they could do, would be very nice to see.
I think that's what they did, though. They didn't say... If it was Stadium, they would have gone, here's a battle,
yeah.
Here's your inventory system, here's a battle, here's your box. Instead, they were like... This is a character walking down the road. This is a character actually talking to someone else. This is someone doing something other than fighting a Pokemon battle, because up to the end of Stadium 2, that is all you ever did with your Pokemon on the GameCube.
I
so they had to say, look, it's going to do something other than do Pokemon.
I agree with that. At the same time, seeing no battles on it weirds me out. It would be the same thing if they showed a game of Final Fantasy or a game of Dragon Quest and didn't show a single second with a monster on screen and something facing it.
I'd
be like,
Final Fantasy,
what?
Where'd the monsters go? No, come on, how many times have we watched the Final Fantasy 12 trailer and it's like, yep, look, it's a pretty town.
And they're marching.
We're still here. Oh, look, balloons went in the air.
And that is why
yeah.
I ignore the
speaking
Final
of Final Fantasy 12.
Yeah, like you said, a quick battle, but it's like, okay, okay, we're done.
Speaking of Final Fantasy 12, Broska from the RP Gamer channel, our regular, has a question about whether or not Square Enix had any explanation for why Final Fantasy 12 is not playable this year.
I don't know, tell me, Mr. Squaring's
given that I was the only person that went to the press conference, and given that they did not say anything about it at all, I can only imagine that it's because of all the bad press that the game got last year to it emulating the Final Fantasy XI battle system, and poorly at that.
Bear in mind, they've pushed back the release date into, you know, sometime
to
in
the
2006,
end of
so it's possible that they're heavily retooling everything, so they don't really have anything concrete to show. And
wouldn't
maybe
they
they're
start
not like
advertising
Nintendo.
That game?
What?
It's going to
be the screen, it's part of April 5.
What?
Apparently 12 will be playable on July 30th.
Yes.
Yeah?
When did we learn that?
Yesterday. But we're none of us are going to that, so.
Why? Where is it?
And I mean, either way, that's not
in Japan.
So.
Everyone flies back.
Sanjay. Yes, Sanjay. What can they say? I mean, no matter what they're going to say, you're not going to believe them.
Well, I guess it's
what happened.
If you're,
what
no, it doesn't. It would even increase our conspiracy theory if they said, well, you know, we want to you know, we didn't think it was ready or we weren't ready with it. You're not going to believe anything they say. You're going to say they're going to retool it because the media is going to say whatever they want.
No, our other conspiracy theory that they were leaving Sony. The good conspiracy.
But I still said the 12 was going to be released on PS2 regardless, because regardless of how long they delayed Dragon Quest VII, it did actually come out when it, you know, on the system it was designed for. Mm-hmm.
They're going to release it on the PS2 because however much money they spent in developing, they're going to have to spend a considerable amount extra to move it across the system.
No, they don't actually. That's the cute thing. It uses the FF11 engine for most of the battles, which somehow is going to the Xbox 360.
I don't see it as being a wise move to move it to a next generation system.
Since when have game companies exercised what we consider wisdom?
Fair enough. Fair enough.
The release dates for the Capcom, next gen consoles, and FF12, just a few, are getting awfully close. I will say this. Right off the bat, it is not leaving the PS2. I do not believe for a second that it is, but at the same time, it's awfully convenient.
It is awfully convenient.
But then again, Dragon Quest VII was a launch title for PlayStation that almost didn't make the PS2 launch. So, delays is not anything new.
Dragon Quest in Japan, though, is, no matter when it comes out, doesn't really matter in Japan.
Well, it does, because if you get a launch title out, you sell your 5 million copies, you have time to make another game before the console's
over. I rephrase that Dragon Quest VII was released in Japan didn't really matter to Enix, because they knew they would sell a billion copies of it whenever they released it.
Right, but they had to keep their quality up with it, you know. Eventually, the series will suffer, and we're squarely on that.
But given that it is becoming very, very warm in this room, and that we have nearly exhausted all topics of sentient talk, I have only one last question, and it's not related to games in any way, shape, or form, but should give people something to talk about and blast us for the next little bit. So, someone, Vraska again, was curious to know if any of us are going to see Episode 3 tomorrow.
It's all sold out in Los Angeles.
No, you go.
I'm not planning on
it. If we could only get tickets.
No. We're here for E3, not...
What? The Advanced Media Network actually has set up some sort of screening. If you did want to go, I didn't mention it because is it like 12 in the morning? No,
thanks. There's not enough time to sleep. You need it for E3.
You need sleep. My wife will kill me. And $12 a person.
Ouch.
That's even more expensive than it is in Oregon. That's saying something.
I don't know. I'm gonna see it. It's just I'm waiting until I get home and then the initial hype is over and then hopefully
you can get a ticket.
Yeah.
Without waiting 3 hours.
I'm sure it'll be good. It'll be fun.
Yeah. I will say of the three prequels, I don't know what they're pre-trilogy. I don't know what to call it. Three. It looks the most interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say.
Even though we know the ending.
Well, we've known the whole story of the.
I hated Anakin since 2. What's your problem?
2? Took you that long?
Well, he was still the prodigy god in 1, so it was kind of hard to hate it.
Jar Jar Binks.
Did he act? Yeah, I was too busy hating Jar Jar.
Yeah.
Oh, at any rate, in the interest of our health, we will sign off now. This was Zachary ASV Lewis as the MC.
Do I have to go first?
Andrew.
Elliot.
Hello.
Chris.
Michael.
Chris. Why, your powers combined. We are RPG now, I guess.
And Courtney is our lovely fanning assistant, so we didn't quite die of heat stroke.
Yay, Courtney.
Signing off.
Oh, and we can't forget Ken. And his lovely cameo.
Yes. Thank you, Ken, for dropping by and making us all used to be used.
Letting in some fresh air. That was nice.
So have a pleasant evening and tune in again tomorrow at 8:00 for our next broadcast when we will have actual things to talk about.
Thank you.
Yes.